Part two, Keepa, what's the deal with that? Quick review, 3-minute review of last time. We learned about Bible, Keepa in the Torah, which there wasn't that much of. We did say that there is a head covering, a mitznefet in the Torah.
And Kohen Gadol.
Exactly. Yeah. And we mentioned that the concept of tzniut, of covering yourself out of humility, is certainly relevant in the Torah, which we found out was the essence of the word yarmulka, right? Remember, yarmulka comes from the two words. Who remembers?
Yira
of the
Malka
of the king, right? Which is why we really should do this. Do fear the king. Things where they fall off. So instead we do these. But that's really the essence of Kippah.
Why is that better?
Because it says fear the king. And because it's really weird and makes you uncomfortable, which we'll get back to at the end. But right now, just keep it a stick. Okay. In the Gemara, we talked about the Gemara Kiddushin and Shabbos, which indicated that Kippah was not something that every Jew did. A miracle, it's still here from last week.
No way.
That nobody touched it.
The Arnik is not here.
So anyways, while covering your head was not a law, it was mentioned as a practice to instill greater fear of heaven upon you. And we mentioned that married people would wear kippahs, and during saying God's name, many would do an ituf, which would cover their heads, which brings us to even nowadays when married people cover their heads during the Shemona Esrei. It's rooted in that. We did mention the Masechet Sofrim, which seems to indicate that when saying God's name in a bracha, or when going into a Beit Knesset, then there might have been more of a source for wearing a kippah, as opposed to just chilling and walking around, when certainly in Talmudic times, it doesn't seem like kippah was all that widespread. Okay? We also quickly, to summarize, we also mentioned that there are many, throughout Jewish history, there are many who seemed rabbis who indicated that kippah is a great thing to do, but not halachically binding. Okay? For example, we mentioned the Rambam, who explicitly writes that a Talmud Chacham wears a kippah, implying that not everyone else. So you don't, the Rambam says it's a sign of tzniut. I believe that's in the last source on the second page, page 11, for those who want to follow along. We have source sheets for everyone. Hooray!
Well, back in the day, it's like kippah on kippahs that we wore today. It's like literally like covering of
right. Now, actually, I was just talking to this yesterday with...
like including the hair, I mean. Like it was kind of like a shaitel for a guy.
It was a total head covering. Yeah. Many people wore it.
You see Rambam, Rashi, they've all got like...
Exactly, you're right. Back in olden days, in many societies, they didn't just wear kippahs like that. That's pretty modern convention. Yeah. They would actually cover their whole head. Which is part of the argument that someone say that if you really that kippah should cover the whole head, it shouldn't be a little dinky thing. Right. It should be that's why one of the reasons why kabbalistically there's an idea to cover your whole head. We'll get to that halachically. Okay. But good point, Jack.
There was people wearing.
Perhaps it's related to that. There's another kabbalistic idea to have a double covering. Might be related to that. But, okay, fine. So we mentioned that the Rambam didn't seem to feel as obligatory. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, chief misnaget, also writes in source, in page number 3, I quoted that the Gra in Orach Chaim A2, there's no prohibition at all to have your head uncovered, only before great ones or in tefillah. Then it is appropriate because of ethics, but the Gra did not feel it was halachically binding to wear a kippah, at least in his time. Similarly, the Shvut Yaakov wrote that before coming before a king, it's okay to take off your kippah even in the synagogue, because it's a strong custom but not obligatory. And the Maharshal, we mentioned, wrote that you only have to wear a kippah when you are outside, and when you're indoors, you don't have to wear a kippah.
What about visiting the Sanhedrin?
Good question.
Do you see what I'm going at there?
No.
Like the average joke goes in to see the Sanhedrin, so they should put on a kippah as a sign of
respect.
Yeah, this is also the temple. Yeah.
Makes sense. Totally makes sense, and that might go along with what it said, except before great people, said the Gra. Okay? Now, we mentioned Rav David Zvi Hoffman mentioned even in modern times, Rav Hirsch, in Rav Hirsch Yeshiva, there were those who would take off their kippah when doing secular studies. Right? And that wasn't that long ago, 200 years ago in Germany. With that said, that was all the Minhag. It's a nice thing to do. I see many people have left. What you can do, you'll have to inform them that the story gets more complicated because we know that Judaism evolves, halacha evolves, and we're going to see some of the reasons why the minhag of kippah turned into a halacha according to most authorities. So, source 17 on page 3 of 6, we have the Taz. Okay? The Taz, not the Tasmanian devil. Who is the Taz? Anybody know? You guys are good. You guys are good. Well, I did not expect. You guys are smart kids. He lived in 1586. He was a chief. That's true. Even most people can't figure it out. He is a chief commentator on the Shulchan Aruch. You study him when you're doing smicha a lot. And he was a Polish rabbi. The Taz revolutionized the world of kippah. When he writes that we must protest Jews who take off their hats once sitting down in order to be like their non-Jewish counterparts. This is categorized as the prohibition of Ubuchukotem Lotelechu, which maybe some of you know is also one of the sources which is quoted this week. Why? What does it relate to?
What does that mean?
And in their way, you should not go.
Don't
be like your non-Jewish counterparts. In the Chumash, it's really referring to the seven non-Jewish nations, but the rabbis refer to it as not copying non-Jewish culture. Right, not mimicking them.
What's the first word?
Uvechukotehem lo telechu.
What about Jewish singers that sort of imitate?
Okay, that's a really good question. You should know that this is not a halacha, but Hasidically and Kabbalistically, Rabbi Nachman and others write that really you should only listen to Jewish authentic music coming from a holy place. It doesn't have to be Jewish. It has to come from tzaddikim. It has to come from a holy place and not mimicking non-holy sources, which is why it's ironic that Nanach play a lot of like random non-Jewish music and make it Nachman stuff. But anyway, that's for another year.
That's the cure, but fair enough.
We're not talking halacha. Is also cited as a problem for doing what comes this week. And what other holiday?
Thanksgiving.
So I'm sure your rabbis will inform you that there is a machloket whether we should celebrate Thanksgiving or not.
We do it.
We're going to do it at TBA too. But anyways, Rav Soloveitchik was for it.
In America, it is.
Many were against making a big deal about it. The issue is, are we copying the non-Jews? Or is there some Jewish value in Thanksgiving that we're latching on to? So similarly, anyways, because the Christians would take off their hats when they would go to a holy place, says the Taz, he saw that many people were also taking off their kippahs.
Wow.
And therefore, he says, if we have to put on our kippahs to show that we're not mimicking our non-Jewish brothers.
Don't Muslims put on turbans?
Right, exactly. So you can say, oh, we're copying them by wearing a kippah. It's not necessarily the most convincing. It might depend on the society.
Although a turban is different to a kippah, and this is the reason why we're not talking to a kippah.
We'll see that there's other reasons, but this, one could argue, with that, the funny story, when I was in India last year, I was walking around with my kippah all over the place, and all the Muslims there were being like, hey, what's up? Yo, you're the man. And I was like, why am I so popular amongst these Muslims? And I didn't forget, they thought I was Jew. I was a Muslim. Because they never met an Israeli wearing a kippah, a Jew wearing a kippah in those parts of India.
How big is your kippah? Was it that size or was it like?
Yeah, it was like this. It was big. So much. I was walking around in Shabbos, and I didn't find a Jew, but I found a million Muslims.
It was a beard, it was the kippah.
They go together. I also got taxes here. Anyways. So the Taz bring in Chukotei Motolech. Now, to be honest, I think there's another factor which contributed to the popularity of kippah. We mentioned this last week. What happened with kippah that it became more and more prevalent? I mean, it's not a specific event, but just like what...
Anti-Semitism?
Maybe. It could be anti-Semitism.
Compromising situations.
I don't have any specific thing. All I see that it came to represent not just I fear God, but I am a Jew. Jewish pride. And maybe it's related historically to the, you know, all these nationalities having, you know, pride. I'm German pride and Russian pride. But for whatever reason, the minhag developed that kippah came to represent I am a Jew, and later I am a religious Jew. And to this day, that is what it represents. I'm making a statement about, you know, what how I feel about God and religion, which might even make sense that, you know, you have the more Haredi kippah, the black hat, this type of kippah, that type of kippah. Even though, obviously, that doesn't have halachic import, but philosophically, that actually makes a lot of sense. Because minhag really developed, kippah really developed as a minhag, because it started to represent, this is what it means to be Jewish, okay? But certainly it was a minhag which slowly, more and more became popular within the Jewish world, okay? And the Taz is one of the great rabbis who believes that it is halachically binding to wear a kippah, not just a nice thing to do. Okay, yeah.
What was like the Sephardim, specifically Syrian practice up until modern days? You know, they have different rules about it.
Well, Sephardim is a big place, but there definitely were, you know, different Sephardic communities, but there were Sephardi communities where the custom was not to wear a kippah, except for in synagogue. And Rav Avadia Yosef writes about that, and he says that therefore for them, since the minhag didn't develop, they may not have to wear a kippah when walking on the street. But there are other rabbis who say that nowadays, especially back here in Israel or in Orthodox communities, since the whole community has accepted upon themselves that kippah represents I'm Shomer Halakha, then they too should join in the community.
Huh.
That is a modern-day debate. But yeah, they definitely have what to rely upon, since it seems to be a minhag which developed, and if it didn't develop in their community, right, it makes a lot of sense to be lenient there. Okay, the Magen Avraham, also often quoted in the Mishnah Brura, Amram Gambiner, 17th century Polish rabbi, writes in Shulchan Aruch Bet Vav, wearing a kippah is a minhag mechayev. But it's a midat chasidus not to walk more than 4 amos with your head uncovered. You get the distinction he made there?
You're done if you do.
No, he's saying like this. If my kippah falls off and I walk like this, I'm not violating a law, but I'm violating a minhag chasidus. A chasid would put on this kippah. You shouldn't walk more than 6 feet. But to walk 10 feet without a kippah, says the Magen Avraham, is already halacha. Now, the Magen Avraham knows that in the Gemara it wasn't like that, but he is saying that this has developed, and the Jewish people have taken upon themselves that we do not walk more than six to ten feet without a kippah on our head, and he feels that that's a law. Okay? So now we've seen that there are those who feel like this, and there are those who feel like that. How does the Shulchan Aruch feel, right? Whenever we're trying to understand how halacha develops, we gotta look in the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo. So if you look in your source sheets, page 4 of 6, we have Orech Chaim, Bet Vav. What is the Shulchan Aruch? Somebody want to read for us the first source in page 4? That's confusing. Go for it. Yeah.
Pretty small. Asur lelech bekomaz kufa lo yelech dalamot beilui harosh. So it's forbidden to go in a upright manner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you also should not walk for a boat with an uncovered head.
Excellent. Yeah, one more for you. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to be codifying here. Who does he rule like? Is it a minhag, or is it a halacha to wear kippah? Is it a real law? Is it a nice thing to do, according to Rav Yosef Karo? It's a halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it is a real halacha. Now, and we noted before, he puts it next to the halacha of walking, not walking arrogantly, which shows you that hashkafically, what's the idea behind kippah, according to Shulchan Aruch? To be humble, to be simple, to not walk all that mean, it's about God. Okay? Now I must point out that later in the Shulchan Aruch, in Tzadik Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh omrim sh'asur lo'ti haskara mipiv b'rosh megula. Some people say you're not allowed to say God's name with your head uncovered. And some people say that you should protest those who walk into shul with their head uncovered. We should protest.
Wow.
Now, there are those who ask the following question. If a person always has to wear a kippah, right? So then why does the Shulchan Aruch have to point out that you never then you have to wear a kippah when you come into Beit Knesset.
All the more so in the Beit Knesset.
Oh, so you could say that. You could answer.
It's the protest.
What's your
answer?
Yeah.
Like Joe was answering that maybe it's our halacha, but all the more so in Beit Knesset, it's even more serious. That makes a lot of sense.
He's setting up his protest answer. Like before, you just shouldn't protest someone without a kippah, but there's someone without a kippah in the Beit Knesset.
Right.
Because it's an explicit requirement not to say Hashem's name, like that might be the, like that's a very specific law. It's so strong that you should protest people.
Right. So that exactly. So I would just put it like this. It seems as though the Shulchan Aruch agrees that it was a minhag machayev, meaning it's a custom which developed into a law, which is still a law, but less. There's more reason to be lenient when we're talking about not in the context of shul, but in the context of synagogue or in the context of saying God's name, a bracha. There, it's already a real halacha, and we take that even more seriously. Okay? Lamai nafkamina. Let's say, for example, I don't know, you're playing basketball, and your kippah falls off, right? So I'm not sure. I've seen a lot of rabbis that have been like, you should always, of course, wear your kippah beginning the game, but if your kippah falls off in the middle of the play, you may not have to pick it up. Since it's a minhag, and I don't know if the minhag applies in every single scenario. I don't know if the minhag ever developed in that type of scenario. Or like, in a swimming pool, we also wouldn't wear a kippah, right? So perhaps there's more leniency there as opposed to a shul where, or when saying a bracha, when we, you know, the Shulchan Aruch would say you absolutely have to put on some sort of head covering in if that comes in our. Yeah? Good? Okay. The Mishnah Brura also takes a clear stand on this issue. It is a minhag or a halacha. Let's just quickly read inside. Umidat chasidot afilu pachot nidalet al amos. So it's a mida of chasidus, which means an extra pious thing to do, that I never walk more than 6 feet without a kippah on my head. Even when you go to sleep, the Mishnah Berurah says you should wear a kippah.
Whoa.
Again, I know most people don't do that.
If we want to be a chassid, we should.
If we want to be a chassid, you should wear it.
Some people wear, the guy in the Shema Be'er Pahal, wears a back down to keep his scar on his head.
Makes sense. Redouble, I think, wears a kippah when you go to sleep. I do when I
try to wear like a nothing.
Don't wear scissors when you go to sleep.
I don't know, because I have a friend.
Same reason.
I used to wear it when I was younger.
Oh,
when you were.
I have a friend who's been at he was at Tel Aviv for a week and then he started wearing a kippah to sleep.
Anyways, so, but if we think about it, guys, if anybody was here last week, remember there was a source with Rabbi Nachman and he started jumping up on the tree when he didn't have the kippah?
Yeah.
Which we remember we said, oh, it seems like there's some sort of mystical power of kippah? But this Mishnah Berurah actually aligns very well with that Gemara. It's not just a reminder of my identity, it actually spiritually transforms me when I wear this kippah. And so even when I go to sleep, I want to, you know, put that holiness upon me. Okay. Anyway, this is not a halacha. It's a nice thing to do. Eino esrim yidinu v'yesh shemitzadim lamar afilu dalet amos. Eino esrim yidinu rach latzuim maasem aval kfar gata v'taz. But the Taz writes, v'zmaninu iser gamor midina liyot begilu rosh. The Taz, even though some people say it's just a minhag to wear a kippah, the Taz felt it's a real halacha, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to agree with the Taz. Okay? And even tani, even young ones, and you should, when they're kids, we should try to educate them and put a little kippah on their head. Okay? Pirmigadam says, when you're indoors, maybe we can be lenient to allow you to cover your head with your hand. But when you're outdoors, that doesn't work.
Why?
So apparently, there will rely upon the Maharshal that says that. That said, there's a difference between indoors and outdoors, but we won't rely upon him enough to allow us to cover your head with your hand outside. And there's a separate machlokas whether covering your head with your hand counts or not. Okay, so we generally rule that it's not good enough to cover your head with your hand. Rather, you need a sleeve or somebody else to cover your head. But I've heard of Nevinsal. Be lenient and say, let's say you wake up in the middle of the night, you're a little groggy, and you don't know where your kippah is. So in that situation, if you're already indoors, maybe you can cover your head, you know, till you get to the bathroom or something like that, instead of having to do like that. Anyway, so like take these two leniencies and put it together, but he wouldn't be lenient outdoors.
I feel like that's just like super technical and defeats the purpose. If it's like Jewish pride or humility, then like putting your hand on your head in the middle of the night like doesn't do anything.
You're right. If it's just about Jewish pride, then it would seem like it doesn't make such a difference about, it shouldn't make such a difference regarding whether I do it like this, or anything, just like getting caught up in technicalities. But as we see, sometimes in halacha, it takes on a world of its own. It may have had originally this meaning, but once it's already halacha, you know, we say, well, you have to have a head covering regardless of what the rationale is. Or perhaps you take a mystical, you know, perspective and say, well, just having that keep on your head will transform you and give you that awareness somehow. Okay, anyways, your question stands. It's a good point. I wanted to get to a few modern-day issues and then some fascinating military tribunal stuff. So, okay, what about kippa at work? Let's say I think that it's less likely I'm going to get the job if I wear a kippa to the court. So do I have to wear a kippa? What do you guys think?
No.
No, why not?
It's only minhag, then you would make it.
Okay, so it's only minhag in there for what? Yeah?
Yes, if the entire thing stemmed from like those two core values, then regardless of the fact if it's like set in stone or not, don't compromise your eyes for anything.
Right, all the more so you shouldn't compromise, right? You could make it out. Okay, excellent. So I like both your perspectives. Rav Moshe Feinstein practically ruled in his first Shailin Tshuva that you can be lenient if you really know you're going to lose your job, then you don't have to go to the interview with your kippa on. His rationale is even for a mitzvah, you don't have to spend all your money. You only have to spend up to a fifth. All the more, so a minhag mechayev, you don't have to lose your whole parnasa for this minhag. With that said, in the modern day world, first of all, this is virtually unapplicable because in most places they won't discriminate against you because you're wearing a kippa. In fact, they'll respect you in a lot of places because you believe in what you believe in. And beyond that, I actually agree with Joe that, you know, like, it's all about Jewish pride, so all the more so if people are I would never take off my kippa. My mom used to, like, urge me sometimes to take off my kippa on the A-train, and I would never do that. I was like, the whole point of kippa is Jewish pride, and I'm not gonna wear a hat because I'm scared. Obviously, there are exceptional situations, but, you know, in crazy countries, but in general, I personally don't like that concept, but that's more of a personal thing. But luckily, Rav Moshe said you can, but not so relevant nowadays, thank God. What about, how big does the kippah have to be? There's another shayla that the Rav Moshe was asked this question. What if I wear this? Is this good enough? Does that count? Am I yotze? What do you guys think?
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
Something.
Something.
You're acknowledging that you are using the something rather than the size to cover the concept of...
Okay, you're acknowledging the fact that there's God. Doesn't matter how big or small. Okay, I like that. It makes a lot of sense. You could argue the exact opposite. If the whole point of kippah is to say, look at me, I'm proud, I'm Jewish, I love God, then why would I specifically wear the smallest possible thing?
Fashion.
Perhaps. But it could be there's something deeper going on there. It could be that you're kind of trying to make a statement like, I'm religious, but not that religious. So anyways, one could argue that it goes against the ethic of kippah, but technically, Rav Moshe Feinstein also says it is fine. You were yotze even with a little, some sort of covering, some sort of reminder. Right. There are those who are strict, or Shlomo Kluger were a big kippah, that guy's got a big kippah. Is that the Chavos Chaim? He wore a big kippah apparently.
We don't have an actual big kippah.
The Pini Halacha suggests that it should be big because that big enough that you can see it from every side. And he says, forget about whether technically you're making a big Kiddush Hashem. You're filling a different mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem when I say, I'm proud to be Jewish, look at me, and I love that Pini Halacha, but technically Rav Moshe says you can wear a small guy. Yeah.
So if I wear like a bobby pin, would that qualify as kippa? Just a bobby pin in my hair?
It's a good question.
Something, right?
It's a good question. I don't know. Meaning...
But it's not covering...
Even a hat, even a baseball cap, like, yes, you're covering your head, but like, you're not making the statement, I'm Jewish, which is what kippa's all about. So all the more...
Now it's about, it's not necessarily the, I recognize God. The dual aspect.
Good question. I mean, it would seem like technically, yes, you could wear a bobby pin, but I'm not sure.
But Rob, doesn't have to be fabric, whereas like a bobby pin is like a mineral of metal?
I don't think there's a... You go to the Kotel, they have the paper one. It's all good.
No, it's still fabric though.
Yeah, they got the real ones.
Oh, now they have the
one. But even those ones are still fabric.
I don't think the din is fabric or not fabric. Right, one second. It must be pointed out that, again, it seems like historically they used to wear big kippahs. So it makes a lot more sense to wear a big kippah, just historically. But yeah.
Similarly, like, to ask the question, like, can it be like triangular or octagonal?
Or what?
Like, that's a very important shape.
Like, if you change the shape, make it like a nice
little cool triangular.
It seems
like a Jewish star
kippah.
A Jew? No, I'm covering that.
In addition to our, what was the other idea we had?
Nazi star.
No.
Wow.
That was a laundry idea.
It's a good idea. Go for it. I want 20%.
What is the question?
Okay, fine. So technically, I think you can wear whatever you want, but there's also like the ethic. By the way, the same question comes up with the toupee. You're wearing a toupee. Do I have to wear a kippah on the toupee?
No, just toupee.
The answer is you don't, because it's a head covering. But Mara sign, people are going to assume you're not wearing a kippah, so you probably should wear a kippah. It's also similar to the whole Shinto controversy. It may technically be a covering, but is it really achieving the point that we're trying to achieve here? Probably not, but that's another issue for another time. Okay.
Is that obvious?
What else?
Kippah on basketball courts. Kippah story. I want to talk about...
Wait, kippah on basketball. Let's cover sport. Yeah. Sport in general. Going for a run, playing basketball, very much.
Yeah, so sorry to tell you that virtually every rabbi in the world will basically tell you that you shouldn't, every Orthodox rabbi will tell you that you should wear a kippah or a head covering when playing sports.
Really?
If it falls off, that might be a different story. You know, then maybe there's a reason to be lenient, but at least... Milichatchila, you should try to get a big kippah or one with clips to start off the game. I personally feel like dafka when you're playing sports, so that's when you can get angry and lose your God consciousness. So all the more so when you're playing sports, you need to.
We're just sweating it, like, you know, you don't want to ruin it. Like.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I already had. I hear it,
but yeah, I still think it's important.
I've done it with it.
You could ask other rabbis, that
I
think.
That's why.
I think you should wear a kippah.
Not
white. Playing sports. Yeah.
What's the whole hop of like the double cup? Like people really the double.
Okay, so I haven't seen any halachic sources that talk about double covering. I've seen in Kabbalistic sources that mention you should have a double covering. That's why the big felt kippahs have a little like kind of two covers. I believe it's mentioned in Chabad and Kabbalistic sources, but halachically it's not required. Why people wear black hats is a different cheer. But fine. Two more important notes before we wrap up. Okay. So first I wanted to mention a famous trial. It's called Goldman versus Weinberger. And it was it went to the Supreme Court in 1988, where there was a Jewish man named Mr. Goldman. He was a psychologist in the American Army. And he used to wear a kippah, and nobody ever gave him a problem. And then one day he was testifying, and he wore his kippah, and the army said, you can't wear a kippah. That's against the rules. And there happened to be a rule in the army that you couldn't have any head covering. So he sued and went to the Supreme Court, and it ended up all these big-name people, you know, you've heard of them, Justice Scalia and Kenneth Starr and all these famous people were all weighing in on whether he could wear a kippah or not. So it's really... fascinating just to hear all the different shuvas. If we had more time, I'm happy to smooth these guys personally, just our time is short. But in the end, he lost, and he was not allowed to wear the kippah.
Really?
But the good news is Congress overturned their
checks and balances.
And there is a kippah clause, and you can wear a kippah in the American Army. Today, obviously from the Israeli army, you can never even imagine such a thing. In the Israeli army, dafka, every Friday night, we would have to wear, everyone would wear their berets and do kiddush together. Just to understand the contrast between this and that. Anyways, so, but I on the side of why he should be allowed to wear a kippah, I thought the arguments was actually pretty obvious. It's First Amendment rights, freedom to practice religion. They were allowed to wear crosses.
Right.
It wasn't really taking away from the army. So I thought obviously, and I'm a little biased, but I thought obviously they should have allowed him to wear the kippah. But actually, one of the arguments against allowing him to wear the kippah ended up inspiring a whole new understanding of what kippah is about. Okay, I forgot who it was, but one of the I think it's Justice Rehnquist. Okay, I have it in page 4. Wrote, the essence of military service is a subordination of the individual in favor of the group mission. So in other words, if everyone is wearing their own hats and caps and cool things, it takes away from the army's essence, which is all about subordinating your will to the will of the army. Yeah. So I think that on a practical level, that's kind of silly, because it's going to cause chaos, and now the whole army is going to fall apart because this guy's wearing a kippah.
It makes sense to have a uniformed, aesthetic
look for an army. Sure, but I feel like there might have been space for an exception. But here's what I think he got right. When I'm wearing a kippah, what am I essentially saying? If I have a
stand apart.
Submit to the whole.
I stand apart, and if I have a conflict between God and the community, between God's will and what American values say, who's first?
God.
And that is, and Rehnquist got it right. That's exactly the point of kippah. The point of kippah is to say, at the end of the day, I choose God. I choose my Jewish values over anything else. And so, even though I think it was kind of, I don't like the conclusion, I think he got it right. I think that is the essence of kippah. It's not just Jewish pride. It's God pride. It's Torah pride. Yeah.
I don't think in the total opposite route, that it is subservience to the larger community and system as a whole. That you submit yourself to Allah.
Right.
You're the only view that you say, like, I'm a Jew. Like, I'm actually not just an individual. Like, I'm part of a larger system.
Agreed.
Like, I think that's more.
You're subordinating yourself to God, but not to the American model. That's my point, and I think that's why he's right. Yeah, Jeff.
So it says in 1998 they granted a Yom Kippur clause. Do they subsequently grant a Turban clause?
They had another Supreme Court just about that issue, but the turban was a little bit more complicated. It takes up more of the look into it. It's a big discussion. Okay, final point, and I don't want to go late. I told you guys about Zimbabwe, how they had so much Jewish pride. They wore their kippah. When I used to play frisbee and on Birthright, I used to have my kippah, my tzitzis out, and people were like, "Yo, how are you so good at catching?" I'd be like, "Yo, it's the kippah. It's my God.
Frisbee."
Yeah. So anyways, that was just on a personal level. When I most connected to kippah was daft when people didn't understand it. And I urge you guys when you go to college to wear kippah. But here's my final point. Nathan Cardoza. Okay? Nathan Cardoza writes a very good article. I printed it if you guys want to read it. Very powerfully written. And it's called "Oh That I Could Take Off My Kippah." There, I wrote it too. You'll pass it on there. Okay. You'll read it yourself. The essence of the article is the following. He's a rabbi, but he wants to throw away his kippah. Why does he want to throw away his kippah? Because he feels like he lost its meaning. Originally, when he would wear his kippah, he would be inspired. He stuck out. Look at me, I'm so nervous. Everyone around me is not wearing a kippah, and now I'm wearing a kippah. It would really remind him of God. And now, 50 years later, it doesn't mean anything. He just puts it on in the morning and completely forgets about it. Okay? And I think he makes a very good point. Of course, at the end of the day, he wears the kippah because it represents that he's Jewish and he wants his children. If he were to throw off the kippah, it would symbolize, I'm throwing off the yoke of heaven, I don't care about being religious. So of course he wears the kippah. But the challenge that I want to present to you guys to think about is how do we do better with this Nathan Cardoza? How do we actually make the kippah a meaningful spiritual experience and not just another thing that we put on in the morning and we forget about the whole rest of the day? So I'll leave that as an open question. One tip that I would suggest is, one, you can do this fear of God kippah. Fear of God kippah. Another move that I sometimes do is I switch my kippahs for davening. I have a specific davening kippah and I end up switching it. It brings consciousness and it changes my, it's also like halachically good to change your clothing, but it changes my mood. Finally, the bracha we say every day, Oter Yisrael B'tifara, means God crowns us with glory, specifically refers to our hat or our kippah. So every day when you say that bracha, you can feel your hat, feel your kippah, and maybe that will bring a little bit more meaning and inspiration. Hope you guys enjoyed. I'm here.
Do you have any input?